Could we read something really geschmack together? Is that okay? We'll come back. Tess. I really love Tess. In Perk Yud. In Perk Dalet. I really love this one. I feel like this is for our generation. I mean, yeah. Yeah, or is it true? You can look on. Baruch Hashem, we have friendly friends. Okay. So Rav Kook is writing for his generation. No, the minhag ha'olam is to make the mezonos. Okay, so it's a shtick and a right that everybody knows about that also. Because they have pancakes for breakfast one day a week.
Did people start washing?
No, nobody listens to me.
Wait, what?
I'm saying in general, nothing to do with the right though. My family's alright. Nobody listens to me as a posek. I'm not a posek. Okay. Oh, you know what it is. Come on. A young lady asked me last night if she should go by her Hebrew name. So I spent 20 minutes explaining to her why she should. And then at the end I said, but you really have to choose it for yourself. If you want. She said, so like I could still go by my English name? Or alternatively, every summer it's like, so like, should I go out with her? No, you shouldn't. 2 days later, hey, guess what? We're going out. You know, like that kind of stuff. Anyway, Oz Tess, Rav Kook here in Perek Dalet. Nobody listens. They come for Eitzah and they don't listen. I mean, I'm not sure I'm a Bala Eitzah, but if you're coming to me for Eitzah, I give you. So, Tess, Oz Tess. Mitzdadim shonim tamav v'tizgala atshuva. Yeah, Rav Kook is writing to his generation, hardcore, but I mamish feel the reverberation of this teaching of Rav Kook through our generation. Rav Kook says, Mitzdadim shonim tamav v'tizgala atshuva. Since tshuva is a cosmic force in the world, there's no telling where it's going to come from. Mitzdadim shonim tava v'tisgala ha-tshuva. Tshuva reveals itself from different sides, from different places. Mitzdadim shonim tava v'tisgala ha-tshuva. Echad miyuchad mitzdadeha. One of the unique facets of the way that tshuva kind of rears its beautiful head. One of the ways that tshuva presents itself, yeh hatzar al elbon shenelav haruach hagadol haotzer b'chol ma shenchilanu avoseinu. Now, it's good when you're learning Oros HaTshuva to first think about it in its... I mean, it's good when you're learning all Torah. Think about it in its shot when it was originally given over, and then be mezgala what it could mean for us right now. Rav Kook is speaking to his generation, to the chalutzim, and saying that one of the remarkable, unique ways that a person feels the koach of tshuva is when they come to the conclusion that they feel a certain pain. Yehatzar al ha'elbon shenela v'aruach hagad la'otzer v'chol ma shenchilanu avoseinu. It's the great pain that a person feels when all of a sudden they come to the conclusion that they have despised the great treasure house, which is the past of the Jewish people. They've given up on the Otzer Hagadol of the great Yerusha that was given to them by their forefathers. A person who realizes that they had, you know, there's like this like folk story about some guy, he wants his father's car, and his father's getting old, and he has this really nice antique car which runs really smooth, and he wants the car, and the father says, just read the Bible, and he says, no, I want the car, and his father's getting older, and he says, just give me the keys to the car, Dad, you can't drive it anymore anyway. This is like out there, like one of these things, like pass this around to 20 people or else your email is going to get crashed. But it's a true maisa. This is what Rav Kook is saying here. So his father finally, like on his deathbed, at the end of his life, father dies, they open up the will, and it says, son, I bequeath to you the Bible. And that's it. And he says, dad, you stink. And he throws away the Bible into some dusty corner of his room, and whatever. Many, many, many years later, he opens up the Bible and he finds the key to the car in the Bible.
He's Jewish,
right? Yeah, yeah. Oto davar. So this Rav Kook says is the feeling that we feel. We're going to see in a second how precise that mashal is. When a person suddenly wakes up one day and they say, "Oy vey, I recognize that I left behind." See, in that mashal, that's a cheap version because, like, in the end, he just gets the key to the car. But it takes him a while. Once he realizes, I presume in the mashal, like, he went back to the Bible because he started getting into it. When a person wakes up one day and realizes, wow, there's this treasure house that was left to us by our forefathers, and I'm just trying to figure out how I can live my life in the year 2016, instead of seeing myself as a hemshich of the year 5776. And when you wake up to that reality of what you left behind, it's a terrible pain. And that pain, says Rav Kook, is the pain of tshuva. It's a painful type of tshuva. Tshuva comes from all different types. She'ein shir lo'ozo kvodo. We left behind the nachla of our forefathers, which has no shir to its power and to its honor. Baruch ha'gadol makor makor chayim. Hamakor ha'eloki ha'elyon shaholich v'nimshach midor dor. He recognizes that he left behind this Ruach HaGadol, this unbelievable spirit of godliness, which, listen to these words, Shaholich v'nimshach midor dor. Let's talk about Rav Kook's actual time period, and then we can apply this to ourselves. In Rav Kook's actual time period, there was an amazing hisorus for the return to Eretz Yisrael and for the building up of the land. The spirit of Mashiach ben Yosef was blowing strong. And what ended up happening is that people threw away Torah and mitzvos. A lot of people threw away Torah and mitzvos, kashrus and Shabbos, and taras and mishpacha, in order to chase after their own version, lahavdil, of the gold rush. To run out to the pioneer lands of Eretz Yisrael and to clear the swamps and to clear the rocks and to start building. And what happens one day, says Rav Kook, is this will happen to every Jew, and certainly to the consciousness of the Jewish people as a whole, is that one day we wake up and we realize, oy vey. See, we thought that in order to realize this new dream, this new vision called building Eretz Yisrael, we need to throw away the past. We need to get rid of all the details of halacha which are holding us back. That's all gullus. We need to get rid of the old Jew and we need to make the new Jew strong and mighty, a pioneer. And Rav Kook said, you're making a terrible mistake. Because the Ruach HaGadol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great spirit of Hashem, the Ruach Elokim, that's Al Pnei HaMayim, that Ruach, it's Holech Mispashit Midor Dor. What's the exact Lashon Rav Kook said? It's Holech V'Nimshach Midor Dor. In other words, and this is always the temptation of every generation. The temptation of each door is to say, we want to reinvent something new. There's a new spirit in the world. Right? There's something which is enticing us because the old is stale. And Rav Kook says, you're right, the old is stale. The old is stale. But don't make the tragic mistake, says Rav Kook. Don't make the tragic mistake. I'll say it. I spoke in MMY right before I came. And I think I told one or two of you this. So, and Rabbi Katz, who's an Adam Chashuv Mod, introduced me as a real chassid, steeped in like you know, text and everything like that. None of this neo-chassidic stuff. So I was thinking to myself that it's a good thing that in that article that was put out about Neil Chassidus, I was only quoted there as the other brother. My name wasn't in there, so I was safe. With Hashem, I was able to stay undercover. But so this, no, but Be'emes, this feeling of ischachos, of wanting to breathe life into Yiddishkeit, color into Yiddishkeit. So there's always, God forbid, there's, God forbid, the possibility, in the same way that Tzionut was able to take the place of halacha for certain people. Rav Kook said, no, don't be foolish. See, you think that Zionism or socialism or capitalism or any ism, like Rav Chanan Wasserman wrote about, you think any of those isms comes to replace Torah. But the truth is that the Ruach HaGadol, which is Holech V'Nimshach Midor Dor, contains all of that in it. The test is, says Rav Kook, will you throw away the old? Or will you reinvent the old by bringing in something new while maintaining the old? The test is, will you say, just like I always yell at people, even people who are older than me, and I can only do it because I have the strength of my Rebbeim that I'm standing on their shoulders, that I always yell at people and I say to them, what kind of a Jewish person says, nah, I don't do Svas Emes al Torah. Svas Emes al Shas I'll do, but Svas Emes al Torah, I don't do Svas Emes. I don't do the Bardichever. I don't do the Zohar. That's not my thing. Well, how could a Jew speak like that? That's a chelik of Torah. That's part of Shmo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what you find sometimes, the opposite direction, is you find people who are part of the Dor HaNimshach, the new Yishuv, if you will, of our generation, and they say, I don't really do Rashba. I don't really do Tosfos. And that's just as tragic. And Rav Kook says, don't you understand that Tosfos and Svas Emes al Torah, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the Ritva are doing the same thing? And this is exactly what Rav Kook says, the tsar, when a person wakes up to that realization, oh my gosh, I threw away, like the Tzetel Katan. What does the Rebbe Melech say in the Tzetel Katan? He says a lot of things. He says that when you're trying to fall asleep, and you can't, you should picture yourself like you're throwing yourself into a burning fire. Yeah, that'll help you fall asleep. But he also says that if you want to be a chassid, you have to learn Gemara Rashi Tosfos. So if a person says, I'm looking for something new, I'm looking for something colorful, and therefore, I'm going to go find it in something outside of the Torah, then one day, says Rav Kook, you will wake up to the Tsar, ala elbon shenel of haruach agar la otzer on the kol, mashin chilanu avosein. You will wake up to the realization that you have despised the great spirit of the Yerusha that was given to you by your forefathers. She'in shir l'uzo kvodo, that has, there's no end to how much honor and how much strength is in that past, which you see as stale. It's just that the new Ruach, the Ruach HaGadol, this Ruach HaGadol, which is Holich V'Nimshach, Danny, we love you. The Ruach HaGadol, which is Nimshach, Midor Dor, that Ruach HaGadol is the battery pack for the old. You understand? In other words, the new spirit which awakens in every generation, if you see that as a replacement, Judaism in and of itself, I'm going to date myself hardcore right now. That's the Walkman. Okay, that's the tape recorder. That's the tape recorder. Because you know you need batteries for the mushroom. The iPods, they don't have batteries. They have rechargeable batteries. Right? That's the tape recorder. The new generation is the batteries which allow the tape recorder to work. But you're a fool if you throw away the tape recorder. You're a fool if you throw away the tape recorder. You're like, oh, I have batteries. What the heck do batteries do? You can't listen to music with batteries. So you're a fool if you think, if you're an alter, old school Rosh Hashiva, and you say, oh, these new kids are crazy. So then you have a dead tape recorder. It doesn't work. But if you have batteries and no tape recorder, you're also a fool. And Rav Kook says one day you wake up to this Tzar Gadol that you left behind, the Nachla of our forefathers, and you recognize that HaRuach HaGadol Makor HaMakor Chayim HaMakor Elokei HaElyon Holech V'Nimshach Midor Dor. It's a Hemshech of the previous generation. And you didn't have to throw away Judaism to build up the land of Israel. Building up the land of Israel is a chelek of Judaism. You didn't have to throw away Judaism to make a Geshmak Rosh Chodesh Minyan. That's part of Judaism. When you put your heart on it, you find out, oh my gosh, Judaism has it all. It has it all. Kol chemda v'kol tif'ara. Kol chemda v'kol tif'ara. All of that delicious, beautiful Judaism or new yeshuv thing that you were trying to figure out and you were trying to spread throughout the world, that was there all along in the old yeshuv. V'achoshech, this is such a great sentence right here. V'achoshech hakafrani garam lehitlash mekoran ben shemein zeh. So I think here there's a double entendre here on these words. Achoshech hakafrani. No. A kfar and also a kofer, right? So choshech hakafrani, if you ask me, I think Rav Kook is being very, very clever here. But either way, he's being clever. Achoshech hakafrani, I think, means this dark heresy. But kafrani is also kafrani, like small town. This is like this would be heresy, you know, like it thinks it's so sophisticated. It's kafrani. You're not from the big city. You're not cosmopolitan. You're kafrani. Achoshech hakafrani garam lehitlosh mekeren ben shamin zeh. You recognize that this small town, dark heresy was able to uproot me from this delicious, fatty, in the good sense, corner of the field. Latos besados zarim. So, and what did I give it up for? To go traverse a few foreign fields, sadot zarim. I left the Beis Medrash because I thought that the Beis Medrash didn't have the hischachus that was there. But I forgot what the Gemara says in Chagiga, Ein Beis Medrash below Chiddush. There's no such thing as a Beis Medrash below Chiddush. The Chiddush is in the Beis Medrash. She'ein behem lasharu l'chaim ba'odenu klal. I went off to foreign fields that have no life, and there's nothing. Eventually I see it's just batteries. I can't do anything with batteries. I need the tape recorder to put the batteries in. This pain, this suffering, which is such a sweet suffering, it's the suffering of waking up and realizing, oh my gosh, I could actually fix this. It's yisparetz ba'oz. It shoots out with great force. And Rav Kook says, this pain is not a pain which causes me to give up. It's a pain which I am overcome with a sense of yishuv hadas and patience. We'll see what he means in a second. Mesinus, patience. Ladas gam kein ma sheyesh leivar mitoch kol darkei hatiyah asher nechshelu b'hem. I say, but hold on a second. It's not like the past 20 years, or the past 50 years, or the past 10 years of my life, or the past 4 years of my life, once you have that painful awakening, it's not like that was lost. It's not like, yes, I strayed in foreign fields and therefore I just wasted the past 4 years of my life. No. What I recognize is, I'll say it outside and then we'll read it inside. What I recognize is that having gone out to these foreign fields, learning how to manage a country and learning how to clear the fields, this is amongst the mysteries of the world, Rav Kook explains, that we spent years as a nation learning how to, or attempting to learn how to run a functional country, so that one day when we'd wake up and we'd return to Judaism, we would have all that skill set that we learned along the way when we went and strayed in foreign fields. It's true that we left our field, but along the way we learned how to chop wood, and we learned how to irrigate, and we learned how to drain, and we learned how to tie knots, and we learned how to do lamot, you know, that's the mashal and the nimshal. We learned how to do all these different things. But now we can come in that moment of tzar, and the chofesh ha-pnimi sheva neshama yatsi v'masro. Uvitzimun oz yachal kol ruach er l'sh'ov l'shtos l'rava me'osim akor chayim elyon. And suddenly this new creature, which was created as a tragic result of having left behind the Nachlas Avos, can come back, and this strong new creature, which is alive and well, which has very strong batteries, can now reattach itself to the Makor HaChaim and drink its fill thirstily from the Makor HaChaim HaElyon. A little bit more. V'hadeya v'hergish v'tam ha'chaim ha'shkaf ha'sa'olam v'chaf ha'tchiyah l'umis. Then the intellectual and emotional, the tam ha'chaim, that the reason for life, the tastiness of life. Hashkaf ha'sa'olam v'chaf ha'tchiyah l'umis. Being able to look at the world in a broad way, not being stuck in looking at the world just through the narrow lenses of the ghettos that we grew up in exile, but to inculcate those lessons that we learned along the way, those things, like Rav Kook always said, to learn from the different nations of the world, they have their inyanim, that we learn from them also. The chafetz ha'tchiyah ha'lumis, and the reawakening, the rebirth, the renaissance of a nation. Takun pigame aneshama vis'atzmus ha'oz ha'gufani. This will fix all the pagam of the neshama, and will strengthen the body as well. In other words, there are pagamim of the neshama, which are tali on the fact that our bodies are not healthy. Like we were talking about going back to the beginning, shuva gufanis. When a person is not healthy, when a person is not, everyone knows the arbi yisodos pilsna. Everyone knows the arbi yisodos pilsna. Study.
Financial.
Oh, that's the last one. That's the Hey Achron. A mentor, friends, study, and financial and physical health. That's the Hey Achron. That's Malchus. If a person doesn't have financial and physical stability, if they think they're just going to wing it, so then it ends up taking a major toll on your ruchness. It takes a major toll on your ruchness. Takes a major toll on your ruchness. Nobody talked about this. I never heard in a yeshiva anyone give a musar shmuz about the importance of making sure that you'll be able to take care of your family. You have no idea. When you sit on a bus, when you take a bus to and from the old city of Yerushalayim, and you pick up strangers as you're sometimes driving in and out of the old city of Yerushalayim. You know, this year I had the great zechus of parking right next to the Kotel. For a little bit, I was able to park, and you know, everyone here knows Reb Lazer Lubat, Alex Lubat. So Reb Lazer and his Verayato have a little apartment over there in Reb Nevensal's building, and they have access to the garage. So I used to get to park there in exchange for him coming to my shir. So the days that I would, especially when it was the height of the craziness, and my wife was like afraid of me, like, you know, taking the bus. So I did a tova for her. I wasn't afraid. But I did a tova for her, and I took the car in, especially since I had this parking spot. And so I would sometimes pick people up. And you see how people, the dachak of finance, the pressure of like financial instability, and the lachatz of taking care of a lot of children and not having the proper means of taking care of them, and not having a proper education, and not being broad-minded, not being able to talk to everybody. Sometimes, I mean, I hear Rav Amar talks about it all the time. He like picks up Bacharim and like he asks him, so how you doing? And they're like, good. Like we become zombies because it's too much, the lack of physicality, the lack of Mashiach ben Yosef in our life is a disaster. And instead of each, like a little bit what we were talking about last night, instead of each tzad of the Jewish people kind of looking at each other and saying, like, you know, a little bit. I'm not saying you have to go to see cats on Broadway or something like that. know? I'm not sure you have to go that far. But it's good to know how to speak properly. It's good to know, you know? It's good to know how to, it's good to know how to express yourself. It's good to know, like, it's good to know, like, you know, broadly etiquette and how to, it's good to know how to balance your paycheck. It's good to know, these things are important to know. Because if not, says Rav Kook, so then there's going to be a pagam ha-neshama. Tikun pigme ha-neshama vis'atmus ha'oz ha-gufani. We're going to be able to fix all of those pagamim of the neshama and strengthen the guf because of those strayings, the stray fields that we wandered around in the galus, which did a lot more damage on our neshama also. But it's not for nothing. Lamashal. The Shla Kadosh explains, it's based on the Zohar. The Zohar says, what's the pshat when it says that in Mitzrayim we worked bechumer ubelevenim bavodakasha bechol avodah shebesada, and it goes to these things. And the Zohar says bechomer da kal vechomer belevenim da libun shel halacha bavodakasha, that's Mishnah bechol avodah shebesada, that's Braisa. What's the Zohar talking about? So the Sfarim explain what that means is that in Mitzrayim, when we were doing backbreaking labor, we were in foreign fields there, like we've never been in before. But that's where we developed our work ethic. That's where we developed our humility. That's where we developed. Shlach Kadosh says that's why we moved to Eretz Canaan. That's why Hashem let the Canaanim stay in Eretz Yisrael before us, so that they would imbue it with a sense of hachna. Canaan milashon hachna. Canaan was avadim, eved la'achim. A servant to his brothers. And the truth is, throughout our lives, it could be that it's from something from the past, it could be that it's going to be something from the future, but sometimes we take a wrong turn, and it's not like we take a wrong turn, we hit a dead end, and when we hit that dead end, so then we're like, oh, I guess I just wasted. No, we built strength even as we were falling, says Rav Kook, so that we can come back and fix those pagamim of the neshama that we developed along the way with a strong body and a strong neshama together. Let me just finish the sentence. We'll pick up with this, I guess, in Ritz Hashem tomorrow. Haseder hamedini v'chemdas hachabura ba'orach haschayim eretz v'savlanos haguna b'yachad im kina chaya neged kol mitoe v'ra. We'll be able to have seder hamedini. We'll be able to have like proper understanding of running a country. V'chemdas hachabura, proper social skills. Ba'orach hasderach eretz, we'll know how to order a slice of pizza properly. Give me peppers on my pizza. We'll know how to order pizza properly. V'savlanos, we'll have patience, haguna, because we picked it up from those patient people in the Americas. B'yachad im kina chaya neged kol misol avira. Together with our newfound zealousness, a burning, living zealousness, kinachaya, neged kol misoy vera, against all that is disgusting, abominable, and bad that we picked up in the exile. Because there's plenty of that also. In other words, we'll be able to take the good, and it will fuel our fight against all that is evil. Neged kol dofi v'chor, against everything which is crooked and is ugly. Mesiris nefesh pnimis ba'ad kol emtzayim, Shatova Kalia Elyon Mofia Vyochol Ofia Al Yadam. And with great Mesiris Nefesh, inner Mesiris Nefesh, we'll be able to fight for and with all of the means, all the good means. Vyochol Ofia Al Yadam. All the good means which will bring us to this proper running of state and of society and of running of ourselves. To be able to fix all the pagamim ha-neshama, this atzmus ha'oz ha-gufani, shvizoche to that awakening. Okay, shkoyach.
I like minding the sefer of the whole bubble, and like our times over the travels, like through the different fields.
I think the sefer of the whole bubble is the chachila, no?
Yeah.
I think that's like, we try to do that like a chila. This is more like a vidyet. This is like finding the sefer of the whole bubble of my pets. Which is also awesome.
Yeah. Really, Cook saying that. tefila, we should be immersed in.
You say it's going to happen.
Or b'diavad, the fact that we are in it, then that this is how we have to.
The Torah already said it's going to happen. The Torah says you're going to sin, you're going to go into exile, and you're going to come back. So what we're saying, the exile is, right?
You paused or, oh, still going, it's
about. Yeah, on to his,
so the word,
yeah,
his question. So the word galut in the Sarim does not really mean exile. It comes from a lashon of two words which are similar to it, which both are from the same shorish on purpose. It comes from the word hit galut. Galut, the galut, means to be exiled, but also to reveal. And it also comes from the lashon of gal, a wave. Now, when a wave crashes down on you, that's not a pleasant experience, but it also reveals something, right? When the wave crashes down on the sand, it uncovers whatever shells are buried underneath. Galus is an experience which is necessary in Jewish people because in Eretz Yisrael, we lost ourselves. And by going through Galus, that chips away at all the coarse covering that's there. It's not, I mean, you know, we're learning a cook, why not throw in a little bit of Satna? The whole Indian of the Satna Rebbe, the whole Indian of the Satmar Rebbe and his great fear about returning to Eretz Yisrael before the right time is based on this idea. Galus is a medicine. Galus is a medicine. Right? When Rachman Otsan, when my brother was sick, so I was in Eretz Yisrael for most of the time, but whenever I was in America, I spent like long stretches of time with him. It was only like twice over the course of 6 months. But those two times I was like in the hospital, you know, of the week that I was there, I was there for 3-4 days, you know, I came out pretty much every day. And only one time though I saw them actually changing the chemo pack. They were like, you know, one was finished and they had to like put in another one. These huge bags of like orange liquid. Looks like gasoline. And this lady, this nurse comes in dressed in like a spacesuit. So this lady comes in dressed in like a spacesuit, like, you know, she's like holding like the bag, you know, and she mounts, like literally the whole, from arms, head, her whole body is in this like spacesuit with like a little visor that she can see. And she's handling this stuff because God forbid that a drop of it should get on her. And they're about to pump this into my brother's heart. You know what I'm saying? They're about to put this right into his heart. So this stuff is poison, she has a poison. And they're hooking it up to the pole and, you know, putting the needle, you know, he has a port, so they're just putting it straight, pumping it right into his chest.
It pumps into their port?
It depends. Well, yeah. It's easier that way. That way you don't have to, like, stick it into your arm every time. You have a port, and, you know, put it into your chest. And then,
You have a what in your chest?
You have a port. A little port. Yeah, like, they put something in your chest temporarily. And that way, it's like, there's like a little thing hanging off your chest, and then you can... It's good. Like a G2. It's like a permanent port, right? So...
He has that now?
No. After you're finished, they do surgery, they take it out. So... That's pretty graphic imagery, right? They like pump this poison. Imagine... Let's take it away from my brother now for a second. Imagine there's a patient who's like that, who needs this poison. Because the poison is what's healing him. And he says, you know what, this poison, I'm sick and tired of this poison. And he rips out the port and he says, I don't need this, I'm leaving the hospital. Like I have another friend, Rafi Light, who at some point in the middle of the shoot, he's like, that's it, I'm out of here, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I don't care what happens to me. It's crazy, go crazy. He says, that's it, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I don't care. So Baruch Hashem didn't do that. But you're just like, I'm done. I am finished with this treatment of galus. I don't want to be in a hospital anymore. This is gull, this is exile, this is pain, this is suffering. I'm done. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Some of them was terrified. Gullus is medicine. And it's horrible medicine. It's horrible medicine. But if we go before the right time, the Rebbe was saying, if we don't finish the treatment, so then it's going to be tzaras and yisurim. Tzaras and yisurim. So we have to daven. You have to daven. I don't know. What, you know that Satmar Rebbe's wrong? I don't know. You know Rav Kook's wrong? I don't know. We don't know. So we just have to daven. We just have to daven that the treatment should come in a way which is more like lolly.